Good afternoon. Happy Sunday. Welcome along to the open mic with thanks to DaVita Home Care, Jordan Norris in the hot seat this week. And I have a fantastic guest, so get yourself a cup of tea and sit down for the next hour, because you won't want to miss this one. I'm joined by Dungarvan jockey, Trevor Whelan.
Trevor, how are you?
Hi, good afternoon. Everyone all right?
All good. Trevor, fantastic to have you back. Meaning to catch up with you for a long time, so great to finally get to do it. Obviously, unfortunately, it's the circumstances in which you're home at the moment. Natural circumstances for a jockey, unfortunately. You are injured at the moment. How's the recovery going?
Yeah, I had a fall at York. It was pretty bad fall. Done a lot of damage to my leg. So I had an operation probably 7 weeks ago. And I've had a scan recently, which was good. I have to go back again the 8th of December to see how it's healing. And I'll be 3 months non-weight bearing then. So be a long road then to recovery after that.
Absolutely, yeah. And I suppose when you're kind of in good form and things are going well for you, and obviously you're riding well, it's not, it tends to be at that point in time that an injury unfortunately does arrive. But look, it's the hazard of the game, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it was going to be numerically, it was going to be my best year. I was riding some nice horses and won some nice races, and I was just very busy for the right people. But just unfortunate it happened. It was just got brought down in the race. It wasn't any fault of my own or manoeuvre I made, so just lucky to walk away.
Absolutely, yeah. So kind of a complex enough kind of an ankle fracture and the stuff with your knee as well. But look, I suppose the most important thing is, as you said, you came out of it relatively unscathed in the grand scheme, and you know, you'll just work towards the recovery now, fingers crossed.
Yeah, of course. Like, there's obviously, you've seen over the past, lots of jockeys have actually got seriously, a lot more seriously hurt, like getting paralysed or losing their life and bad falls on the flat. It was a pretty bad fall, but it was a complex break, but look, it will heal, and just a bit of time and patience, and hopefully be back for the start of the flat season.
Absolutely. A lot of the big British flat festivals in the last few years, thankfully, they've come for winners for you. You know, you were in a rich vein of form, as you said, when the injury happened, you're on track for your best season. Has there been anything that you think you've changed? Is it a case maybe you're riding a better calibre of horse every day, or is it a case of, you know, sometimes when your luck is in, it's in. It might be a combination of a lot of things.
Yeah, look, it's a combination of a lot of things. You don't really ever feel like you, as a jockey, you change much. You're obviously, everyone's busy riding out and working hard, and sometimes you just come into a bit of rich, the horses, whoever you're riding for, are running well, and you might get on a nice one. And it just, sometimes it just snowballs like that. It, for some reason, it just, the last couple of years, it just started snowballing. And like, obviously, I'm riding for some good trainers like Mr. Charlton and Mr. Candy, and obviously Ollie Sangster has just started now, who's kind of going to be a big powerhouse as well, and I'm getting plenty of support off them, and they're all increasing numbers as the time goes on. So in effect, it's just a backlash of they're getting more horses, riding a lot more for them, and just reaping the rewards of that.
Absolutely. You were a young man when you crossed over the season and chased the dream, Trevor, but obviously the roots always come back to Dungarvan. And I was just saying to you before we started there, like, anytime you have a winner, the support that comes in from the people here is unbelievable. So I'm sure while you're home now in the next few days, you'll be catching up with a lot of people that you haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, like, I haven't. It's amazing when you're actually over riding and you're busy riding out, and we obviously don't know our schedules till like 2 days before where we're riding, so it's hard to actually come home and get off horses. So coming home, being injured, the town have been great. Like, I bumped into a lot of people, and everyone's plenty of well wishes. I'd like to thank everyone for that. And it's quite a racing community in Dungarvan. So, yes, it's good to get home and catch up with people.
Absolutely. I suppose going back to those early days, like, it's crazy to think, you know, you're nearly over the best part of almost 20 years now, like, which is mad, because obviously you're still a very young man in the jockey's terms, and hopefully good years ahead of you. But I suppose, was there ever anything else for Trevor Whelan, or did you decide when you were a young fella, no, this is it, I'm going to be a jockey and I'll do whatever I can to be one?
To be honest, it only feels like yesterday I went over there. It's been amazing. Time flies. I've always been, since I was in secondary school, riding ponies and had a pony, and then went to the racing school since then. I never went back to school after transition year. I never had any other interest in anything, and it was just always the horses. And I just decided on a gun-ho to go over to England and give it a chance, and took a bit of time to get it going, but it got going in the end, so I was just happy with that.
Yeah, and where do you think that initial love and passion for horse racing came from? I suppose, obviously, you've mentioned Dungarvan being such a racing-rich community in terms of, like, it's a big, big sport around here. Like, obviously, if you wanted to get involved in it, it's a great place to get involved in it. Was it in family? Was it in, you know, I suppose, a certain point in time where you were just inspired by it, or just a natural thing?
That's a tricky one because I can't actually put my finger on what when it actually clicked. But I've always kind of went to the pint of pinting with my father, and like he obviously always had an interest in racing. So he used to, and obviously when I was growing up, I used to watch Ian Power a bit when he was when he was jumping. And kind of, I think just kind of just got, I always liked watching, and then I just got a pony, and then just kind of just clicked like that and just went from there.
Absolutely. They kind of do say, and it is a cliche, but at the same time, it's true. You have to have a little bit of madness about you to be a jockey at the same time, too. I'm sure you could probably vouch for that.
Look, there's no denying that it's a tough sport. It is. It's actually probably more mentally tough than it actually is physically tough, because there's lots of up and downs, like in racing. You know, you can be flying one minute, you can be struggling another minute, and it's all like you're only. Every day is different. There's more bad days than there's good days. Like, you'll ride a lot more losers than you will ride winners, things like that, and you get injured. But if it's your sport, like, and you're into it, you get a good kick out of it and enjoy it.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's a great point, obviously, in the context of the injury that you have at the moment, because I think particularly, you know, as you say, the highs, as you mentioned, are more rare than the lows. So when you are experiencing those good moments and you're in those rich veins of form, to have these stumbling blocks, like, it can be quite mentally taxing, I imagine.
Yeah, like I said, the mental side can be tough. It's a bit easier the older you are as a jockey, because you get used to a lot of the downs. You can see it's like with social media being so prevalent nowadays, it does affect the younger jockeys. Like, you see poor jockey like Tommy Jakes, a lovely kid who's not with us anymore. And it's not, there's no hiding that social media has been, like, we get a lot of inbox messages from, like, people that obviously lose their bets, like, and they're not the best of messages often, but I kind of tend to ignore things like that. But yeah, it's like, it's probably like any sport, like when there's betting involved, there's always going to be angry people.
Exactly, yeah, when people weigh a personal consequence against it. But look, you're the best in the world when you win, you're the worst in the world when you don't win. That's unfortunately the nature of the beast itself. It's, you've had over 200 winners, like, so far in your career, and hopefully counting, as we said. Like, I mean, when you think back of young Trevor heading across, like, it's hard to reflect on something when you're still doing it, but at the same time, you must be delighted with how things have actually gone for you.
Yeah, I think that's probably slipped into two. I think I've nearly had 400 winners.
Okay.
Because I was jumping, I had nearly 200 winners jumping.
Sorry, that was it, yeah, sorry.
And then obviously onto the flat. Yeah, just look, it's obviously, I'm delighted the way things are going, and I never thought, like, for the number I've ridden, I never thought I would achieve that. It's obviously tough to get going, but yeah, I'm just delighted with where I am at the minute with it, and like, just looking forward to getting back, to be honest.
Absolutely. I want to talk to you first, obviously. I know when you went over first, you would have been engaged in National Hunt, and obviously you've moved on in recent years to specialising on the flat. But in terms of National Hunt racing, again, I suppose that's probably a consequence for a lot of Irish jockeys. The National Hunt game is the big game here. It's the big draw, obviously, particularly in Waterford. So when you went over, like, there's probably been a lot of changes in, I suppose, in how you have to ride when you're switching between the coats.
Yeah, like it's quite funny, because it's even though it's the same sport, it's totally different.
Yeah.
Like, people would watch it and think it's pretty the same thing, it's pretty easy to do, but actually going from the jumping code to the flat, I found it very difficult at first, because the flat is so quick, everything happens so fast, there's not much room between horses, not much gaps, and you have to be that lot much sharper, whereas jumping, everything happens slow, you can go a bit wider, it's all about trying to get your horse into rhythm, get him jumping, and generally the jump lads give each other a bit more room.
Yeah,
but on the flat, everything is about fine margins, like coming out the stalls, you need to get your position straight away, you can't be really stuck tree wide, and it's just the small factors in the flat can make a lot of difference.
Yeah, like the way I'd look at it is, obviously, look, I don't have the experience of it, but flat probably more based on instinct, whereas jumps would be that bit more tactical, I suppose.
Yeah, like flat is like, you kind of, you really, a lot of time you have to do your homework more on the flat to see what horses are going to like come out the gates and going to go forward and be in what positions. Because like I said, everything happens in the first 10 seconds you come out the gates to try and get your pitch in a race. And that you're all kind of deemed of what happens there. And then when the race is developing, trying to get gaps and making sure you're following the right horse. And then obviously, because we race so tight, then you don't want to end up clipping heels, things like that, you know. And it's a lot more taxing.
Myself and Trevor will be back after the break.
A lot of the races you'd ride in would be sprints and up to around a mile, Trevor. Like, I mean, the margin for error in that is so small, because obviously the time that the race is running is going to be a lot shorter than your standard race. So again, if you make a mistake, if you're slow out of the stalls, if you're out of room, you know, the margin you have to close that before the finishing line is on you, it's barely there.
Yeah, of course. And also when you actually watch a race on TV and you see a gap, and some people might say, why didn't the jockey go through that gap always looks bigger on TV than it actually is in real life. And everything's going slower on TV, and when you're actually in a race and things are happening fast and noise is around you and them gaps are small, and like sometimes like nobody wants to go into a gap unless you can actually get through it, because that's how you'll end up getting hurt.
Yeah.
So it's not as straightforward sometimes as the TV makes it look.
No, exactly. If it was easy, we'd all be doing it. That's the way I'd sum it up. In terms of, I suppose, getting a bit of standing behind you over in England, when you went over first, where did you find yourself ending up? And do you remember riding your first winner?
I do, yeah. I went over to, I just seen an advert for Ian Williams to be a conditional. And then I just applied for that. And then I was there for about 6 months, and I rode for my first ride over there. Was a winner around Aintree on an old horse called Backaline. She was after having a foal and everything, came back into training. Wow. It was a bit amazing. And then, yeah, my first two rides for Ian were winners. And then I kind of kicked on from there, jumping for Ian for a while.
Yeah, I mean, when your first two rides over are winners, like, I mean, it's always a good sign. It makes it a lot easier to start, because, I mean, for young jockeys getting into the game, Trevor, like, a lot of it is confidence. And I suppose, as you say, building that experience and know-how, like, as you said, you're not going to win every race. You're going to go out and ride, and like, things will go wrong. Things do happen, and you might be on the best horse, but that doesn't mean that you're going to win. So I suppose confidence from the offset, it was such an important thing to have.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Like, if someone's in a rich vein of form, like riding loads of winners, like, it's like football, and down strikers are scoring, like, they always feel like it's coming easy to them. But it does get tough if the winners aren't coming. You're always like getting a bit anxious then, thinking when one is like fancied or something, you're like, you need to get the job done or things like that. And yeah, it can be a bit taxing.
Absolutely. Does that ever come into the mind of a jockey, or is it something that you kind of, you're not really too bothered with, in terms of, like, say, I don't know, you're on a horse that's 4-6 as opposed to a horse that's 16-1. Like, does that ever come into your own thinking in terms of a pressure point of view, or is it a bit irrelevant?
It's you probably, like, he'd only be human to think about it maybe a little bit, but like, once you actually get out there, like, you treat him all the same, really, and you're kind of guided by what you're told, the way to ride him anyway. So, but once you're actually out, I never find, when I'm out there, I'm fine on him and out riding. It doesn't come into my mindset. I just ride him, and hopefully I do a good job and get him in the right place to win the race.
Absolutely. I suppose for a lot of people, everyday racing and festivals, probably there might be a bit difference for them, because I suppose for some people, they only tune into racing for the big days, the big festivals. Excuse me. Like the likes of Cheltenham and Aintree, Ascot, Goodwood. But, like, there's so much racing in Britain, and there's so many opportunities for riders. And I think, to be honest, it must be said, there might be more opportunities than there is here in Ireland.
Oh, of course, there's no denying it. You could, you'd switch on there on a Saturday, like, in the midsummer, like August, and you could have seven flat meetings around the country. And there's plenty of opportunities there for lads. And I always think in England, as long as you're willing to put in the graft, like riding out and working, you will get rewarded to an extent.
Yeah.
But then after that, you need to get a bit lucky as well. But yeah, there's definitely rides there if you're willing to put in the work. And then if you can do light as well in England is a very good thing, because there's all the spares.
Yeah, and I suppose that's probably something that, from your own personal perspective, you've been lucky enough to be able to achieve down the years.
Yeah, but like I kind of end up going jumping just because I'd done hunting and stuff like that, and I was young and I thought I wanted to be a jump jockey.
Yeah.
And then I never had a scales when I was jumping. I never had to check my weight, and then so I rode for a while jumping, and then kind of Neil King, who was a stable jockey, too, got it quite, and I thought I'd just go on the flat for the summer just to mix them up, just to earn a few more quid. And then I kind of just got going. George Baker was using me a lot, and I just thought I'd stay on the flat then.
Yeah.
And I was quite light, so I'm quite fortunate. I can do 8.6 now, which is quite light enough in England for the flat, so I get plenty of rides.
Absolutely. You mentioned Neil King there, and I'd actually only said to you, still to this day when I think about you, there's one horse that probably does jump off the page, that horse being Little Rockefeller. He had some relationship. Obviously, you've been on so many quality horses down the years, but still, I think that's the one, when we do think of Trevor Whelan, he's one of the first people that we do come across.
Ah, yeah, he's obviously... probably my favourite horse, because he probably he came up short in Group 1s a couple of times, like Grade 1s a couple of times, but he probably just lacked that little bit more. But he always, like, he was a tough horse in a race. Like, he was very hardy when he got going and got into a battle. He'd grind it all the way to the line and had some good days on him and all that. It was unfortunate when he passed away in France after the race. But yeah, he's been a great horse throughout my career, starting out.
I think versatility as a jockey is an incredible skill, Trevor, because there's not many people that would have ridden competitively at the likes of those major jumps festivals and then gone on to be winning group races and listed races on the flat as well. So, like, as you said, they're nearly two completely different sports. So it's kind of a honing of your craft down the years as well. But I think you could definitely concretely say now you've settled on the flat and we'll probably never see you over hurdles again, no?
No, I enjoy the flat. I'm probably too old anyway for jumping nowadays anyway. But look, I'm enjoying the flat and yeah, so I'll definitely be staying that route.
And in terms of whereabouts you are now, I know you mentioned obviously that you're riding out for Roger Charlton and many, many more. The horses that you're on at the moment, like they're great quality. You were in good form yourself. Like, and sometimes things can be a match made in heaven when you meet a trainer that has good horses in his yard. The yard are in a purple patch. You're getting on as well then. And then I feel like for jockeys, that kind of opens out so many more doors for them as well when you're not, say, someone's stable jockey, so to speak. Like, the opportunities will naturally keep coming then.
Yeah, you'd like to hope so and think so. The people I'm riding for are, like, obviously everyone knows, Mr. Charlton, Roger Charlton, but obviously it's Harry the son now.
Yeah.
But he's doing a great job and he's some quality horses from quality owners and they're very good to me and ridden a lot of winners from good decent winners for him over the years. And obviously Mr. Candy, I picked up a lot of winners for him now last year and the year before and a couple of listed races for him. He's been a brilliant trainer over the years. And like Ollie Sangster starting out now and he's up to 100 horses at the minute now, and it's not, he hadn't even done 3 full years. And
wow,
he's well educated, he knows his stuff and he's had a good schooling like with the trainers he worked for. And so, yeah, and he's had a good start, so riding plenty for him. So I just hope that can keep blustering into a bit more.
In terms of the actual life as a jockey, Trevor, like I know naturally you'll have so many friends in the industry, you'll have colleagues in the weigh room that you'll be friendly with, you'll, you know, have yards that you go to. But like, would it be fair to say that, like, is it a bit of a lonely sport, so to speak, because obviously you put so much pressure on yourself to perform. If you're not performing, that's your way of living. Like, there is a real kind of an underlying sense of having to be a success.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong. Like, it can be a bit lonely because you obviously spend a lot of time travelling in England, especially around race courses. And obviously you're dieting a lot as well and you're quite busy. But the racing itself, even though it's individually, the great community inside the weighing room between the jockeys. We all look out for one another. Everyone's there for one another, and I've good fun in there with all the lads and things like that. Even though we are out competing against each other the whole time, just I've made some great friends in there, and yes, it's a great community.
In terms of inspirations from a jockey point of view, was there anyone when you were younger that you looked up to and said, you know, that's the benchmark for me?
I used to just love watching Paul Carberry when he was riding, just because he was so cool on a horse and he had that flat style over jumps. I just love watching Paul Carberry, and obviously Jason Maguire. I used to like, and the jump jockeys that looked like flat jockeys with the straight back and Rod Short, like Jock Thornton, and I felt quite privileged that I actually got to ride with them for a couple of seasons before they retired.
Yeah, and what was it like for argument's sake when you were going over and you were younger, like, and you're sharing the weigh room with the likes of these people that, you know, at one point in time you're home watching them on the telly, wanting to take tips from them, wanting to be like them. Like, I'd say culture-wise, like, there's probably the experienced jockeys, they would be good to the younger lads.
Yeah, like, the jump weigh room was when I met Dora first, it was brilliant. Like, you had, obviously, the champ was still riding and all the top lads, like Noel Feely's and like Maguire's and all them. Like, to be fair, they were all brilliant. It was just very surreal when you actually go in there for the first time and, like, you're just watching them on TV the whole time and you're sitting there and you get to talk to them. It's just, you just become very shy and
yeah.
Don't know what to say and don't want to sound stupid at the same time.
Yeah, I'd say you've probably seen plenty of rows and arguments in the weigh room down the years as well, because at the end of the day, like, you can be colleagues, you can be friends, but once you're in the stalls or you're lining up for a race, you're going to have to beat each other, like.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, there's been plenty of fights in the weighing room and things like that, but they all get sorted out, and most of the lads that have had fights with one another, they're all fine a few weeks later and it's all brushed under the carpet. It's just a very intense sport and everyone's on adrenaline and wound up, so like usually if something's going to happen, it'll happen straight after the race, and it's just because everyone is high emotion like when it's not gone right for them.
Open Mic, the podcast.
Live your life your way at home with Davida Home Care.
Brought to you by WLR.
Do you feel recently, for argument's sake, that you probably were in the best form nearly of your entire career?
Yeah, I would have thought so, yeah. Yeah, it was going good, and I was really busy for the right people and picking up plenty of rides, and agent was doing well, and yeah, I felt the fittest I've been for a long time, so it was going good, but we'll get back to it again.
Absolutely, yeah, and again, it's not a case of if, it's a case of when, that's 100%. I think, again, as you just said there, like, when you have confidence, it's so, so important. How do you deal with the low moments, Trevor?
To be honest, like...
You just know the winner will come, I guess?
Yeah, you just have to, like, it's like I said, I find it a bit easier with the older you get, because, like, after you have kids now and a family and things like that, and, like, you just go out and just keep riding, and just... One will eventually go in.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
yeah.
a monopoly, so hopefully, you know, and then you get in a rich vein. You could ride once some weeks, you could have a few winners, like, and then it's going flying, and then a couple of quiet weeks. Just all depends.
Did you find it tough to maybe initially settle going over?
No, I felt like I fitted in straight away when I went over. I ended up at Ian Williams's, and they had a good lads working there that were riding for him as well, and I just kind of knitted in with them, and it just... kind of felt like home kind of straight away, and then I met my wife quite early over there as well, so
that helps.
Yeah, it helps, yeah. And like I had her family, and she has a racing background as well, so she's quite like wives and girlfriends probably take the brunt of most of the racing, because you don't know what mood you're going to come home in, and
yeah,
they obviously see like when you're down and when you're up and things, but it does take a certain type of woman to be probably married to a jockey, I would have thought.
Absolutely, yeah. But definitely a lot of patience, I'm sure. But again, having a support system behind you is such an important thing, because as you say, like, you know, you need someone to bounce ideas off, you need somebody to vent frustrations, to stuff like that as well. So I think anybody that's a success in a high-level sport, like, it's as much a reflection of the people around them as it is the person themselves.
Yeah, well, you obviously, like, it's like anything, like, you just need to build your own community around you with good people. It helps. I have a good family and good lot of friends, so I have a good network around me.
It's nice to have such a choice to answer this question, but obviously you've had over 400 winners, so I am going to ask you, has there ever been a particular favourite victory for you?
I would have thought it would have been Little Rockefeller with the Ladbrokes hurdle at Ascot.
Yeah.
Just because it was a good race and he wasn't fancied at all and just took us by surprise.
Yeah. And I suppose them races, say for argument's sake, where, you know, people from the outside looking in aren't expecting you to win, or, you know, like, you know, when you get off the horse, you're like, wow, I gave a really, really good ride there. Like, I suppose, are they that little bit more extra satisfying?
Yeah, but sometimes, like, you could look like you're giving one a really good ride and it's just kind of been a bit of a fluke.
Yeah.
It's a bit like any sport, like, you know, and then sometimes you could give one a really bad ride. It's like very fine margins, but yeah, sometimes the really good rides are unintentional. And then, like, sometimes you don't fancy one and then you'll end up giving it a different type of ride and it ends up winning. It's just fine margins. There's no law to it, I don't think.
Is there a favourite course that you would like, ideally, like, if I'm saying to you, right, you're to go out, you're in a big race, where do you want to be, what distance?
Ascot is a beautiful track.
Yeah.
Especially the Ascot Festival is just, like, lovely. It's just big. It's a big grandstand. It's just... crowd are immense and it's all as well looked after, and it's a great buzz.
Yeah, I've always wondered with the big field handicaps in those kind of festivals, like, you see races like the, you know, the Lincoln, the Cambridgeshire, and you're seeing nearly 28, 30 horses going off for less than a mile sometimes. I'm wondering, like, as a jockey, how do you even begin to think tactically for something like that. Sometimes, like, it's always like watching a cavalry charge.
Yeah, a lot. Like, then again, sometimes a lot of it comes to look. Like, you just have to go out with your instructions of what way you want to ride your horse, and then just hope you're following the right horses and the gaps come at the right time. Like, it doesn't really matter if you're in a pocket. It doesn't matter what horse you're on. If you can't get the gap, the gaps don't come. You just can't get the room and you can't get out. But sometimes it does come to luck in the big fields when you can just make your manoeuvre, get around, especially if you're dropping in a bit.
Yeah. Would you be someone that's particularly harsh on yourself? Like, say, for argument's sake, if something didn't go to plan, would you be kind of beating yourself up?
Yeah, well, most jockeys are their own worst critics, aren't they? Like, if you make a manoeuvre and you get stopped and you're running, then the gap opened up where you stayed and you're like, why didn't I just stay there? And it looks stupid thing to move. And just, yeah, you're always your own worst critic. But I think if you're not like that, like it just shows that you're willing to try and, like, not improve, but you just want to always do better, you know?
Yeah. In Britain, like, obviously, as we mentioned, there's so many cards all of the time, but I suppose that probably proves that there's such a spotlight on racing as well. And, like, I know, like, media access to jockeys is unparalleled over there, in a sense. Like, the minute you're off the horse, you don't even get a second to think. You probably have a microphone in your face, regardless of the results you've just had. Like, sometimes like that, is there an underlying pressure to things like that as well?
Yeah, like, the new thing nowadays is, like, when you get off the horse, like, if the trainer and the assistant, like, they'll do a face video.
Yeah.
And they'll record you when you're debriefing. And it's just fine and all that, like, and then it's just sometimes you debrief what you thought and then you come in and you watch the replay and you're going back over and you might think something different, and then you can't really then turn around and go,
Actually, this is what I meant.
Yeah, I think something different now. It's just, I can understand, obviously, trainers, a lot of owners don't go, so they need to get the video because the owners want to see what the jockey saw straight after the race. And, everyone's just trying to do what they need to do.
Yeah, because it's such a high-stakes game. Like, I've always noticed, like, you know, post-race interviews, sometimes emotions can be really high, like, good and bad. Like, you know, people can be very annoyed at the idea of having to talk to somebody because they're upset, or, you know, you're obviously emotional if you've had a great victory, things like that as well. Because everything, I think, horse racing is the one sport where heat of the moment always just is the one thing that kind of reigns supreme, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you could end up saying anything sometimes after a race, like, and sometimes you might need to look at a replay to see if something happened in the race. You thought something happened, and then you go back and you look at it and think it looked worse in the race than it actually looks on TV.
Yeah.
So you could just end up saying something, and then I always found sometimes you'd say something, you'd be like, they're after seeing something different, and you're like, I hope they don't think different.
Yeah, exactly. I hope they don't watch back and see the same.
Yeah, it's like telling them lies.
Yeah. People don't tend to realise, I suppose, how much actually goes into being a jockey. I think a lot of people think you just, you know, you drive to a race course, you jump up in the back of a horse, and you get off and your rides are finished and you go home. Like, there's so much more to it. Like, because I know you'd be riding out in mornings, like, you're doing a lot of things. Obviously, if you're a national hunter, doing schooling, things like that as well. Like, there's so much to it. Would you, I suppose, from the offset, because, you know, I suppose you didn't have the natural background, so to speak, would you have considered yourself from day one to be that kind of natural horseman?
I don't know about a natural horseman, but I just enjoy horses, and being at the races is probably the easiest part of being a jockey, because, like you said, we have to start early, and then obviously we've no saunas and things anymore as well, which is a big thing. So
yeah,
a lot of us would have to get back and sweat in the bat, and then you could sweat in the bat, and then you could have a 4-hour journey to the races, and then you get to the races, and then, like, if it doesn't go to plan or whatever, then you have to jump back in the car, and you could be on your own in 4 hours back home. You're not getting home till night time, and then you're going back to bed, and you might need again because you got light the next day, and then you have to up and ride out. Every day just rolls into one sometimes, especially in the summertime, and it does get a bit taxing when you have, like, young families and all that, and you can't go to certain, like,
events
and weekends, and, like, you know, and the kids are asking you to go and you can't go, and then your wife is going on her own and their friends are there, and it's like kind of very, it can be quite a selfish lifestyle in the season, because everything is built around the racing and what the schedule looks like, which you don't want it to be, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, like, unfortunately, no matter what way you think about it, the schedule is what dictates your life and where you are and where you need to be. In a way, isn't it a wonderful problem to have, though? Like, I mean, like, I I know full well, I can just tell from talking to you, like, you just absolutely, you just love it, don't you? Like,
yeah, of course, yeah. It's not actually, like, it's not a job really. Like, it's more like
a passion.
It becomes a way of life, like racing. You know, like it's hard to actually, when you explain to people what you have to do on a day to day basis, like, they think it's a bit crazy, like, but it just becomes your norm, like, and that's just our norms, like, and like, I was so busy, and then when I got hurt, like, it's just amazing how bored you get, and very bored and out of routine quickly you get, and like, even the downtime when you're off can be hard because you're sitting there watching horses should be riding winning, and it's always a worry when you're a sports person and self-employed, basically, that will you get back to back on all the horses you're riding, and will you get back to the amount of winners you've been riding? But like, I'm sure I will, but it's just, it always was natural to run through someone's head when they're just sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah, because I always feel like, for argument's sake, if I was in the yard and I know I got hurt and the lad that comes in and takes the rides that I usually have and he's winning and stuff like that, like, as much as I'd be delighted for him, I'd probably be fuming at the same time too.
Yeah, of course, like some of my friends have ridden horses and won on them, that, like, I'm happy for them and just annoyed it's not me.
Yeah.
And obviously the game is obviously, like, winners based game, so like, if they're riding a lot of winners for that yard and you come back from injury, like, it's not a guarantee that you're going to get back in ahead of them, like, because obviously it's all about who's in form at the time.
Yeah, for argument's sake, if there was any young lads listening into this and they're, for argument's sake, around here and they think that they can forge a career in this, is there any particular piece of advice that you'd give them?
I don't know about a particular piece of advice, but like, When I came back to the racing school and came back and I wanted to be a jockey and I was going to go to England, and before I went as well, I had plenty of people telling me I wasn't good enough to go and do it, and like, I had plenty of negativity around it, but like, I nearly didn't, and I just thought I'll go and keep trying, and there was a couple of times even when I was over there I thought it wasn't going to work and should I come back, and I just kept grinding it out and just work as hard as you can riding out and keep your head down. It's like, don't get cocky, stay humble, and just keep grafting. And I'm a big believer, if you're working really hard, you will get rewarded. But it won't happen straight away for a lot of people. It does take time, and just keep ticking away at it.
But there, in a roundabout way, there must be a massive sense of satisfaction in proving people that did doubt you wrong.
Yeah, it's great. Like, yeah, it's obviously, yeah. I was happy when it, like, well, I'm still doing it, like.
And yeah.
But there's obviously a lot better jockeys than me out there, but I'm happy with the level I'm at. I never thought I'd get to, like, where I am now. So I'm just delighted I came out of a small town and achieved something away from Dungarvan.
Absolutely. I asked this question to a lot of sports people that I interview because I think it brings about some interesting answers, and I never want to insinuate that there are or there aren't, but would you have any regrets?
Well, it's normal in life to have regrets.
Of course. Like,
if we could all go back and change something, we'd all change it. But regrets, I don't really think so off the top of my head. No, just, I've always worked hard, and that's what I've been known for, hard work, and probably more so work than actual ability, because I do graft hard. So yeah, as long as you work hard, and it doesn't, like, for young people, if they work hard and it doesn't work, at least they say they tried their best. Rather than having the ability and not putting in the work and then looking back thinking, I was good enough but I didn't try.
100%. And I think that's something that's definitely apparent in the weigh room. You probably have so many people in there that are blessed with that natural gift and talent, but maybe they're not prepared to work as hard as other people. And then you see those that are working harder, the ones that get the fruit of labour at the end of it.
Yeah, there is a bit of that. And then there is plenty of really good jockeys in the weigh room, like some brilliant jockeys that just can't get on the good horses, and you do need to get on the good horses as well to actually get the notice. Like, you'd be surprised how many really good jockeys there is in there.
I'm curious to know now, who would be the jockeys that you'd be particularly friendly with in the weigh room?
Tom Marquand, Sean Levy, Charlie Bishop, lads like them.
Yeah, and of course, and I think, again, as you say,
Tom as well, like, I'm quite friendly with Tom Queeley as well.
Yeah,
which is obviously class jockey, like.
And when you look at the two of you coming from the exact same place to what you've gone on to achieve in the UK, like, it's fantastic to, I suppose,
But to be fair, and I'd put me and Tom Quigley in the same concept is a bit rich. Now Tom is, what Tom has achieved coming from Dungarvan is incredible. The career Tom has had, and he's still riding, like, and the pressure Tom would have had the time coming around Frankel, and he's such a cool, collected fella, and his demeanour has never changed with all the big, like, all the pressure he's had, like, so.
But it must have been fantastic, I suppose, in a way, for you to have each other over there, Trevor.
Ah, well, like, I only got to know Tom kind of, like...
In later years,
in the last couple of years, like, I wasn't on the flat. Like, I was still jumping in Franklin. Them days were about for Tom, but I went to school with Jack, his brother, and I know Decky quite well. I used to hang around him a little bit growing up. But, yeah, like, Tom's had an amazing career.
I suppose there's a final question, and it's a very open-ended one, but have you ever thought about life after racing?
Not particularly, no. Didn't
you have to live
really.
In the moment, don't you?
Yeah, like, I never really particularly thought of anything outside of racing, because obviously flat jockeys go till, like, realistically probably late 40s.
Yeah.
And really good ones go a lot further than that, maybe. But yeah, I've actually, I was only thinking it a couple of weeks ago when I actually had this injury happen, and the surgeon told me, like, if it doesn't heal properly and ankle needs fusing, like, things like that, it might be a struggle to get me back to ride. And then it just started to sink in a little bit, like, how quickly it can all be taken, like, your whole life could change just one ride, one fall overnight, like, so. But no, I haven't thought, if that's what you want to say, the answer.
And is there anything in particular, I suppose, that you'd like to achieve before, I suppose, the time is up?
Not really, just get back riding, ride as many winners, and just keep as busy as I am. I'm happy in my life, and just keep it going for as long as I can.
I think that's the perfect way to end it, because I think if you're doing something you love and you're enjoying it, that's probably enough reward for it in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Trevor, could talk to you all day, genuinely. Absolute pleasure to have you in. Hopefully,
thank you.
I'll see you back on a horse, back in the winner's enclosure in a couple of months' time, and want to wish you the very best of luck with everything, and massive congratulations for what you've achieved.
Thank you very much.
Perfect. Thanks, Trevor.
Thank you.